As I have opportunity to speak to us on Sunday mornings, I've been doing a series on evangelism, hoping to at least one morning service a month for a while here to uphold before us this thing of evangelism and outreach. At the first meeting of the elders as to joining our two congregations of Village and Evangelical, both churches acknowledged that they had not done very well in reaching out to the people in Mount Laurel. And would our church together be better at that than our churches separately? And the answer is, if we're not, we're going to be in the same position as before of holding our own and not reaching Mount Laurel. And so part of my emphasis as the pastor among you for whatever time I'm among you is to uphold before us this thing of evangelism and the people of Mount Laurel that are near us who need to know Jesus Christ. And who are they going to hear but from the believers set in the Mount Laurel community? When we sang in our hymn, as we sang through here, there was a question that was asked, who will go and help this shepherd kind? Was the answer of your heart when we sang that, I will? I will? Let us pray. Lord, we pray for your word today. It is the word of life. And we are to hold forth that word of life. We pray that as we hold forth the word of life today, that each of us will reach out and take it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Many months ago, we took a look at our first in the series, was that the sick need a physician, and Jesus being the great physician to come and heal the sick. And then also, we saw that when Jesus calls us as his followers, as his disciples, he calls us to be fishers of men. He calls us to be many things, but that's one of the main things he calls us to be. And today we take a look at the wisdom of God behind the saving of souls, and asking God that God would make us such wise people. We're not looking at one passage. We're going to take a look at a series of passages, all talking about wisdom and all talking about that wisdom saving people. Our first passage is in Proverbs, the 11th chapter, the 30th verse. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. It's interesting, in this corporate response to our confession, it says that one of the results of our repenting and being restored to God is that we would teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. When we're rightly related to God, our life becomes one of teaching others and bringing others to conversion. And here in verse 30 of this Proverbs, it talks about what the fruit of a righteous life is. The fruit of a righteous life is the tree of life. The tree of life was given in the Garden of Eden. It was taken away and it is restored in the last chapters of the Bible, in the book of Revelation. And so the fruit of a righteous life, the fruit of the life of faith, the fruit that comes from knowing God and being related to Him is life. Life. We're not dead trees, but through faith we are living trees. But the benefit of our salvation is not just for you and me. It's not just we're living righteous lives, but that we are to be an influence on others to win them. And he who wins souls is wise. There's a wisdom in the gospel of Christ. The wisdom of God is foolishness to this world, but the preaching of the gospel is God's wisdom for salvation. And if we're going to win souls, we need to be wise as God wants us to be wise, and that is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just before I went to Florida, the Lord brought an 84-year-old evangelist in the bed next to my dad. My dad's 85, he's 84. And this man gives the gospel to everyone he sees. He and I had many conversations during the time, it was good. But every worker that comes in, every doctor that comes in, every therapist that comes in, he gets the conversation to the gospel. And his main verse is John 14:6. Jesus, the way, the truth, life. No man comes to the Father but through me. He quotes that. He gives cards to everybody he sees with a verse on it, with his name. He works at Chick-fil-A. And he's giving out Chick-fil-A cards. And, you know, just having a great time in the wisdom of God. And I'm thankful that he brought such a person for my dad to hear over and over and over again. Everybody comes into the room to help encourage him in his soul and life and the struggles he is presently having. Now, there are those who are wise financially, and there are those who are foolish financially, and you know the difference between the two. And there are those who are wise in mechanical know-how, and I would call on to help me. There are others that I would not call on because I know they're not wise in repairing things at all. If I had car problems, I'd call on Bill or John Bartello because they rebuild cars. They rebuild cars. I don't know if I would call on some other people I know, though. I wouldn't call on my 3-year-old granddaughter for sure. What she'll be as she gets older, I don't know. But there's a wisdom. And there are those who are wise in dealing with people. They're good at making sales. There are others that are not so wise in dealing with people, and they should never be salespeople. Never make it. Well, in application, we are to be wise, and we are to be wise in many areas of life, but one of the areas that we are to be particularly wise in is those who are in Christ Jesus, is the saving of souls and in giving them the good news. Now let's turn to the 14th chapter of Proverbs, not too far away, the 25th chapter. And it says, a true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. The context of this verse is the commandment to do not bear false witness. When we are in the court of law, we are to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And a true witness will deliver the innocent from those who are trying to destroy them. A true witness will deliver, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. Say, well, what does a court of law have to do with us witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, aren't we called to be witnesses? The throne of God is in heaven. God is on His judgment seat. God is at the bar of justice. And we are giving witness to the truth. We, in a spiritual sense, are sworn to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to those that we meet. And with all the deceitful witnesses out there of false gospels and false prophets and false religions giving a false testimony to the truth of God to the destroying of souls, we are to be giving the testimony of truth and the testimony of life. And those of us who say nothing are as bad as those who will not give witness in the court of law to say something to save the innocent. To not tell the truth is the same as speaking a lie. Not to go and speak to people of the truth and to be a witness to them is as bad as being a false witness, because we're not giving the witness that we should be giving. It is our duty in the truth of the spiritual world, as we are called by God to be His witnesses, to say that no man can come to the Father but through Jesus, as Ed is doing again today at a Bel Air nursing and rehab home. Now let's turn to Daniel, the 12th chapter, the passage that was read earlier. Daniel, the 12th chapter. This is talking about the last days, the resurrection of the dead, and people waking up either to eternal life or eternal condemnation. And it talks about the wise again. Verse 3, those who are wise shall shine. Those who are foolish won't. Remember the five wise virgins with their lamps lit and the five foolish virgins with their lamp out? In eternity, those who are wise are going to be shown to be wise because they're going to be shining in eternity. Like the brightness of the firmament, the brightness of the sky lit by the sun. And those who turn many to righteousness, those who are an influence for the gospel of Jesus Christ and the lives of others, those who are like this Ed, witnessing to Christ and leaving the rest to God. But those who turn many to righteousness, who give witness to Christ and His claims, and have an impact on the life of others, they're going to be like stars shining in the heaven forever and ever. Even in the Old Testament, they talked about giving a witness and what the eternity will be of those who are having an influence on others. And we finally come to a New Testament passage, James, the 5th chapter, which is, James has sometimes been called the Proverbs of the New Testament because of his wise sayings. And as he ends his book, he says these things which may surprise us, because we think of all witnessing being to those who haven't heard the gospel or have not made profession to the Lord. But you know, we have to sometimes give the gospel as much to those who have heard it and to those who have claimed to profess it as those who don't.
And he says in 5:19, "Brethren, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back." See, they knew the truth, but they're wandering from it. And someone comes alongside and helps to get them to turn back on the right path again. Who do you know who has wandered from the truth? Who do you know that needs to be led back? This is for you. James says, "Brethren, if any one of you, anyone among your group, wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." Turning a sinner from the error of his way just by reminding them of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and seeking to turn them back to the Lord again. And so we see the wisdom here isn't like we would think of wisdom. Wisdom is not something we know. Maybe you've heard this before, the difference between the Greek way of thinking and the Hebrew way of thinking. The Greeks say, well, if I can give a definition, for instance, pain, the definition, what you feel when you're burnt by a candle. The Greek says, I know what pain is. The Hebrew says, until you put your finger in that candle and feel the pain, you really don't know what pain is. You really aren't wise until you're a doer of the things that you know. And so James hears too. It isn't just that we know the way of wisdom, but we're using the way of wisdom practically to turn people back to the Lord from the error of their way. It is not enough to know the gospel. It is not enough to trust and rest in the gospel. It is only enough when we are out there seeking in God's wisdom to lead people back to the Lord Jesus Christ when they strayed from Him. And then in 2 Timothy 3:16, when we are giving the gospel, we're not giving our own ideas, we're giving the scripture. Like I'm giving the scripture now. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so it makes us, this scripture is making us wise for salvation. Now let me give you a couple examples of soul winners I've known. I wish I could say that I was a better soul winner than I am, but you got to leave the results to God. But I've known some people who have really been gifted by God to be evangelists. And some of us here, though we're all to be evangelists, some of us God may gift. That may be the way the Holy Spirit works through us. And I want to tell you of a person who was at a Church of the Open Door in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania, when I was on staff there. Her name was Maureen McFarlane. She was a member of the church, and I was a member of the staff. And Maureen was one of those wild-eyed, charismatic type of believers. If I had a cold, and she knew I had a cold, the first thing she'd do is pull me into my office and pray over me so that my cold would be better. She had a heart for the Lord, and that was a wonderful thing. But many thought of her as being strange and kind of pulled away from her. However, she was wise in winning souls. I wish I had about a dozen of her in the church right now. She was just wonderful. She was able to draw people to her who were in the world and somehow in God's working to bring them to faith in Christ. Not her, but the Spirit, the way the Spirit worked through her, the way she yielded to the Spirit's influence in her life. It was her gift. She was wise in it. And invariably, if we had a visitor in church on a Sunday morning, and I would go up and see a new person, I'd say, "How did you find out about the church?" "Maureen McFarland picked me up when I was hitchhiking, and she gave me the gospel, led me to Christ in her car, and here I am." Or, "I met one of your members, Maureen, at the grocery store. She was talking to me in the grocery aisle and gave me a track, and we exchanged phone numbers, and I'm here because I've come to faith in Christ." She was evangelizing for the whole 500-member church basically on her own. And that shouldn't be, but she was a wonder. And one day, a group of members went to the pastor, kind of concerned about Maureen and her ways. And the leader, one of the leaders of this group, who was also an officer in the church, went to the pastor to complain. And the pastor said to the leader of the group, "Do you know so-and-so?" He says, "Yeah, he's my neighbor." He says, "How long have you lived next to him?" He said, 20 years. He said, "Have you ever given that person the gospel?" The person said, "No." He said, "You know, Maureen led him to Christ last week." And after that, the pastor would not hear any more complaints about Maureen. Another example is a man who witnessed the Roman Catholic priests and nuns. We had him at Church of the Open Door. And when he came to talk about witnessing and how to witness, he had with him a former priest and a former nun. Wherever he went, he had former priests and nuns with him. It's hard enough to get somebody who's Roman Catholic to trust in Christ and Christ alone for salvation, let alone to go to a Protestant church. Imagine being able to do that not with one or two, but dozens and dozens of priests and nuns throughout your life. This man had a wisdom on how to speak to these people about the Lord. Now, this man's method you might not have liked, because this man's method was in your face. He was in your face. He was in their face. He would put out these obnoxious cards, 10 reasons why I love the smoke. I love the cough. I love yellow teeth. I want to set example to my children. 10 reasons why I drink. You know, I like losing control and beating my wife. You know, he give all the and he oh, you smoke here, take this. You drink, take that. He was in your face. But the Lord used that. The Spirit of God used that. And some of those people needed somebody who was a little bit in their face and with a little bit of sense of humor, because those cards were really funny when you read them. But in your face, but in God's wisdom, and loving those people and giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ, there was wisdom for salvation. May we ask God for wisdom and begin to be wise with those around us. May we ask God for us to have wisdom to, as in the second passage that Elder John read, to be able to give a reason for the hope that is within us, and always have our speech gracious. You know how hard that is? Huh? I was on a plane of grumbling, unhappy people when our nonstop flight had to land in Charlotte, South Carolina. And it's so easy to get caught up into that and our own little selfish world and not think that maybe somebody here needs to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we read books. May we take courses. We teach one in Sunday school here where we're teaching people and encouraging and praying for presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we go out into the world with the most wonderful message we can ever give, and with the most wonderful message anybody can hear. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you have not yet come to the place where you are a saved soul in a state of grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus, you too can be brought to repentance and forgiveness so that you can have peace with God and eternal life. Today is the day to leave your condemned state and acknowledge that you are lost in sin and asking the Heavenly Father to save you for the sake of the Son that He sent as a sacrifice for our sins. If God's Spirit is working, new life will come to you. Let us pray. Lord, in the word of the psalmist, having come to repentance and turned to you, we not only give you praise, but sinners will be converted to you. We pray as a result of our confessions this morning, our repentance, our seeking you, that this is just more than a feel-good hour in our lives to boost our sagging spirits, but rather, it is you speaking to us that we might speak to the world around us. Lord, save Mount Laurel. Save those neighbors to the left of us. Save those people working across the street in the industrial park. Save the people as we go and do the worship service at Brightview. Save the people in the houses around us. And we ask, Lord, that you give us wisdom and we'd seek your wisdom, that we might be your witnesses, and that you might bring many souls to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name.